Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Now, the Midday 180 rolls on as we talk Titans with number 26, Logan Ryan. From 104.5 The Zone, this is the Logan Ryan Show.
He's back. Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Logan Ryan is back in studio with us.
What's going on? You hear me?
What's up, man?
Good to be back. Welcome back. We're happy to have you. It was a big hit last year, and we expect even better from all of us. We're the three of us. David, with his questions for you, we're all going to ramp it up. It's going to be big.
Here's what I knew, Logan. With all of the, I don't know if jealousy is the right word, but within the defensive back group, they all know you have your own show.
They do, yeah.
And the bragging that goes on from you about your own show, I knew you'd be back for year number two.
Yeah, you know, I got to keep them one up them, those guys, you know. You know, Malcolm's got a couple Super Bowl MVP and an all pro. KB's got all pro, so I got a radio show, so. You know?
Always competing. Always.
And he lists that as opposed to the number of Super Bowl rings. That's his top line.
Yeah, I got some Super Bowls.
On the
That's right. That's right. If you need a new 55-inch 4K TV, log on to 1045thezone.com. Click on the contest page to register with this keyword, video. That's your keyword. Keyword, video. We'll name a winner Friday at 5:05. It's the 4K kickoff on 1045 The Zone, presented by Electronic Express. Logan, the 27-20 loss in week one to the Dolphins, the two weather delays. Let's start there. Just a craziness. Up until this past Sunday, what was the longest game you were a part of? Anything come to mind quite like this? Anything close?
The longest game I've been a part of would have to be, you know, the Super Bowls are longer with the long halftime, the 30-minute halftime and 40-whatever minute half. That's pretty long when you're used to 6-minute halftime. So those are probably the, other than an overtime game I've had before, but no, this was two hour breaks. The crazy thing was, it was a 2 hour break. You came back, you played for a minute, then it was a 2 minute halftime on the field, and then a
6 minute.
Yeah,
it was 6 minutes, 30 seconds. Those were crucial.
Yeah, that was something like I've never played in. I'm actually honored to play in it. You know, tell my kids about some history. I played in the longest game, and my body definitely feels it. I think all of us kind of do, kind of mentally. Tired after that, but you know, we're excited to come and defend our home turf here.
How much stretching goes on during that? And are you guys like trying to stay loose so you're ready? Or are you thinking, hey, the 10 minutes or whatever we get out there is sufficient? Or is everybody stretching for 2 hours at a time because you want to be ready because you know it could come at any moment?
Yeah, well, you don't really know how long it is, so you want to stay stretched. I mean, think how much we warm up. I think if we play a game at noon, I'd probably get to the stadium at 8 a.m. And I'm doing things from 8 a.m. to get ready to noon kickoff. So now, you know, they say a lightning bolt comes and it's 30 minutes. So you're kind of like, all right, I'll chill for 10 minutes and I'll start stretch for about 10. Then we'll go out on the field and do about 10 minutes. You know, that's a short kind of glimpse of what I would normally do for a regular game, right? Or for a full warm up. That's shortened version. And then after 5 minutes, they said, oh, another lightning bolt, another 50 minute delay. So now it's like, stop everything I'm doing. So it was a lot of cooling down, warming up, cooling down, warming up. I think I switched from wet, sweaty clothes to dry clothes about three different times, changed my uniform twice. So it was kind of frustrating, but I mean, at the end of the day, we were so into it that you were just kind of like, okay, we wanted to win the game no matter what. I was going to keep competing. And, you know, it sucks to come up short, but I think everyone who played in it is kind of a unique experience there.
Did you say you were in a hot tub?
Was it
during the course of the day? I thought somebody told me they even managed a hot tub there.
Yeah, they had one. Yeah, they had one single person hot tub in there.
How was the line for that?
I saw Will Compton in the hot tub with his shoulder pads on. So like, just a,
what's that about?
So, yeah, well, so he didn't want to take off his upper stuff, but I guess he had compression shorts and he had his lower stuff
so
on. So
Paul and I were upstairs during this. It rained just before the weather delay, the first one. Then you go into the locker room, which is, we were told, freezing cold. Like the air conditioner was turned all the way down. True?
Yeah.
So you sat outside in the hallway because it was warmer. At least that's what some players did.
Yeah, some players did that, yeah. It was just...
Was it miserable?
No, it wasn't miserable. It was just different. It honestly was different. And I think our staff, and especially being a road team, because now you're in a road locker room, which is, I mean, it's sufficient, but it's very much different than your home locker room of the amenities that you might have at home. More space, more hot tubs, more cold tubs, more treatment tables. We're in a little road locker room trying to find where 90 or whatever, 55 guys can just rest for 4 hours and warm up in the locker room. So it was unlike anything I've ever played in. And I think they had to get the air under control. It was kind of cold when we got in there, Especially with soaking wet clothes. Because it monsooned in pregame. I don't think people understand. In pregame, it downpoured rain, and then the sun came out for kickoff, and it's sunny. And then we play a quarter, and then it's thunder and lightning, and then we're in the tunnel. And then we come back out to drizzle, and then we're back in the tunnel. And then we come back out to, like, doom and gloom. So when I came out the second time, I was like, is it dark out? Like, what time is it? Like, I didn't know what, like, I didn't know what this
what day is. It?
Yeah.
Locked out for a little bit.
Right. I was like, let's just play this thing on Monday. I don't even know what we're doing now, you know? So it kind of was like, to stay mentally in it for that long, I think was the toughest part. But I think we did a good job of that.
A lot of good jokes. We thought that Lawan might go into the concussion protocol and then clear it in time to come back. We thought that Conklin or Evans could get activated and appear in the second half.
Yeah, you can get a full treatment in. He probably could have passed a little baseline concussion test and got back out. I did.
Did the locker room conditions force you out into the tunnel at any point where you felt like you just had to get out of there?
No, I literally laid down, put a towel on my face, and took a nap for about 20 minutes. And then, no, I was comfortable in there. I was fine. But some guys, some guys, it's hard to stay cooped up for 2 hours. Some guys got a little more ADD than me and got to move around. So they open up the back doors. I said, I've opened up the back doors, and guys were outside talking to Miami fans that were talking trash to us somewhere like in the middle of the game, in the middle of the break. It was just like something that nobody has ever prepared for, that type of thing. And you know what the worst part about it is, us as a players union and as a player, we need to really think about the injury rate and the injury aspect of, playing a game and then taking a 2 hour break and then going back and playing and then taking a 2 hour break and then playing again. Cause like our bodies aren't prepared for that. And you saw, we had some injuries that are costly injuries, and safety wise, obviously that's not too safe just to sit around for 2 hours, come back with a 2 minute, 5 minute warm up and then go kick off right back into right where we left off. There has to be some type of protocol or some length of a game. It's like a baseball game, but it's obviously different than baseball going 20 innings. It's twice as long or three times as long as we've ever played.
How much do you eat over the course of the day when you're in the locker room?
That's the hardest part. So you got to understand, like, if the game is at 1 o'clock and we're getting to the stadium at 10, where I eat breakfast, right? I wake up and eat breakfast at 8:39 in the morning. And I normally don't eat until after the game. So you're talking about...
You want an empty stomach.
No, not as you want. You get to the stadium, you start moving around. You might have one peanut butter and jelly, but you kind of drink Gatorade, moving around, taping. You don't really have, there's no full lunch.
It's like your routine.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. You play a game at noon here in Nashville. When are you going to eat? You're going to eat breakfast. You're going to go play. You can't have lunch at halftime, have a full, burger or something. So you're talking about it's 4 or 5 p.m. You haven't really ate. So now they're trying to find us stadium pizzas. They were trying to get us our after the game meal, that Mission Barbecue, like trying to get that. And then I'm like, I don't want to eat a full pizza during a game too. I got to play cornerback here and cover some fast guys, Kenny Stills and some fast guys. So I didn't know what to eat. So I was eating some peanut butter and jellies. I probably had like 3 peanut butter jellies all day. Like that was my meals.
I think they left to go get bread for the team, like to make those sandwiches in the middle of the game.
Yeah, because the whole team's hungry. So, I think, we ended at 7, 8 p.m.
Yeah.
We're talking about we ate breakfast was our last four.
Was that the norm, 3 or 4 peanut butter and jellies for players? I mean, if every player's having 3 or 4 peanut butter and jellies, I can see the need to go buy more bread at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to eat healthy. I mean, there's guys that are crushing full pizzas. Like, we're
Lyman,
just...
Lyman, I'm guessing?
Yeah, you know it. Yeah.
Who is the biggest eater?
Yeah.
Spain take a whole pizza?
I went out to eat with the defensive lineman. When you get to a city... You kind of have a couple hours before you have meetings. So usually us DBs, we go our own ways and go to our own spot. And I wasn't getting I usually ask the people at the hotel what's a good place to eat. I wasn't getting a good vibe. from them. So I just followed Arakpo and Jarrell. And even though those guys are vegan, man, they ordered the most amount of food. I'm talking about 3-4 entrees a piece. It was crazy.
What kind of restaurant?
It was like an Asian type of like a Virago type spot. So it was smaller plates, but I mean, these guys, I ordered an appetizer and an entree for myself. And you know, most people don't even order appetizer just for themselves. They share it. I ate a whole appetizer, a whole entree. Grown man. These guys ordered an appetizer or two and 3 or 4 entrees. So each, and then tried to play credit card roulette after, and I wasn't putting my card in. So.
did they play?
They did, yeah.
Who lost? Or won, however, how do you look at it?
Wow. I don't know if they want me to disclose that.
Dang.
But it wasn't one of the higher paid guys.
What's the reaction when his card is drawn? I mean, is there an outburst?
So
despair?
So credit card roulette, everybody puts their card in, and if you get your card taken out, you're safe. So it gets suspenseful. It's last card. So let's just say our heavy hitters, Arakpo and Jarrell and all them guys, Woodyard and kind of the guys who've been in the league, made some money. They got out first, so they were all safe. It wasn't one of them. It was one of the younger guys who...
It was Correa.
Yeah. It was one of the younger guys who wasn't prepared for it, so that's why I hit him a little harder.
So did he help? Did he...
Yeah, he was hurting.
Yeah,
I was happy at him. I had a bad feeling. I didn't order a lot of food, so I had a feeling if I put my card in there, it was going to be me. So I was like, I'm not. I'll just pay for my own bill today.
Yeah, it seems fair if you're not equal partner in the deal.
Because if you're going to put your card in, you might as well order a lot of food and just go all or nothing. Either I'm going to get a lot of food for free or I'm going to order a lot of food and pay a lot of money. So, you know, that would be my strategy for credit card roulette.
It is the Logan Ryan Show on the Midday 180. We're served up by Wendy's. His wife Ashley in studio with us, making her debut. And a new addition to the family, Logan.
Introduce everyone.
So my beautiful wife Ashley's here. She's here in studio rooting me on, making sure Paul doesn't get too getting too rough on me in this next segment. And we got my baby boy, Otto Dash. He's making his debut. Hopefully he'll be quiet, which he should normally.
He looks like he wants to dash. He's got some kicky feet.
Yeah, so we'll see if he's going to be a dash.
Looks ready to run. All the new coaches lost on the first weekend, including an old friend of yours, your former defensive coordinator, Matt Patricia. How do you think he took that? It was not a good showing against the Jets last night.
Not well. Losing sucks. If I could find a better word, I hate it. My wife will tell you I'm not as happy when I lose, when I come home. Put a lot of work in, especially the first game of the year, but I mean, it doesn't really define you for the season. It's all about, you know, week 1 to 2, see how your team responds and stuff like that. So I'm sure up there in Detroit, it's like here, it's not too good right now. But, you know, you always got another game on Sunday.
You think there's anything to all the new... You think it's coincidence all the newcomers lose, or you think maybe it says something about the time it takes to put in new systems and get things off the ground?
I think it could be a coincidence, but I do think, you know, it is new systems and stuff, and you just got to trust it, man. Nothing brings your team closer sometimes than a loss, and you got to trust what you're doing out there. And it's really the first time, you know, you're running it versus live full game look, and it's no excuse. I think that's a coincidence that every new coach lost. I don't think that's why we lost, because we had a new coach or anything like that. Every game is its own story, and you know, you want to see how the season goes. And you know, they're probably saying this about Doug Peterson with the Eagles, and he was a first time coach, a head coach, and he had a pretty good year. So, you know, I don't really think put too much weight in that.
No Jarvis Landry on this Dolphins roster. I know that was a matchup you always enjoyed going against.
Yeah.
You've said that in the past. What was this group like without Landry? Because Landry brought last year and in years past a sense of toughness to that wide receiving core. How would you describe the group you just played now?
Not as tough. He definitely is one of the tougher players, and I think people saw what he's about on Hard Knocks. And
yeah.
That's how he is on the field. And that's very much how I am with my guys. And that's why we kind of had some battles and clash heads a lot when we play. He probably clashed heads with a lot of people. Playing this group was kind of like, it was like a Chip Kelly team a little bit. It was kind of like an Oregon offense. I think it was simple concepts, but I think they try to use the heat to their advantage. Spread you.
In what ways? How do you do that?
Well, it's hot. It's humid, obviously. I think they try to spread everybody out, right? And I think they try to run plays really fast. and try to spread the ball around. I think they did a good job with, you know, Albert Wilson and using run the ball and some things you can't really prepare for in week one.
Yep.
You know, it's week one plays that you got Albert Wilson running an option quarterback play to Frank Gore. They got two running backs. So they did some things that we couldn't have prepared for, but I think we did a good job of adjusting in the run game in the second half and stuff like that. But I just think it's a finesse group. It's a small receiver group, and I just think they're trying to get the ball out of Tannehill's hands quick, run after the catch, keep you on the field, convert third downs, and just try to drive the ball, and really with little dink and dunk and stuff like that. And, you know, looking at it, you're really furious that you lost the seven-hour game. I think I put up a lot into it. I think it's the first game of the year. That's why I was probably extra mad. But kind of watching the film and settling down, I mean, they were 2 for 10 on third down. They were one out of five in the red area. I think they were 0-for on sudden changes, which means they had a turnover, and we came in and either held them to a field goal or no points.
Took it back.
Right. I had a turnover right back. I had the strip that was called down, and then three plays later, Malcolm has a pick in end zone. So I think that's how you respond as a defense. I mean, that's all you can do is just handle the situation that you're in. I think we played some pretty good defense. I think this team is much better than the 0-1 team last year out of that feeling. At least that's how I feel. So I'm not, I told you I don't really press the panic button how the first game of the year goes, and I wouldn't now because I think we have a lot of talent and on this team. And I want to know what you guys think about my guy, Deion Lewis.
He was really good.
Yes, the biggest bright spot, I thought.
I want to ask you about another newcomer, Malcolm Butler, and you guys are so close as DBs. Do you rib him at all for the slip on the return? Because he had Ryan Tannehill to beat on that cutback, and he was gone.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he regrets it a little bit. I definitely ribbed him as I picked him up today. And he knows, man. He knows, like, yeah, but things happen so fast sometimes. You know, he didn't, looking back at it, you know, he didn't see it. He's probably so excited he got that pick. He didn't, but.
How was the footing? Was it spotty?
It generally is in Miami. It's generally terrible. It wasn't that. It was actually better than I thought. It was better than I normally thought. I mean, when it started raining and monsooning off and on, then obviously it's just wet grass.
You know, they had a soccer event there Friday.
Yeah.
They played a college game there Saturday night, and then your game, the 7-hour.
Yeah, they always game. Do that. Yeah.
It's great. They use that building for a lot of different things.
They use that a lot. And it's a nice stadium. They did a lot of things to it. But the field is normally horrible. I'll put it bottom five in the league, and that was it wasn't that bad. It just when it got wet. I mean, I switched my cleats probably after the first break and didn't slip too much, but there was some people slipping, but it wasn't as bad as it normally is.
A lot of controversial calls in this game. I didn't see anybody saying you didn't commit your penalty. On your show, I like to always ask you about your infractions. What happened?
Another guy I let it compete with, Amendola. He's smaller. He ducked his head, and you know, we had some contact, and I guess the way the new rule is with this contact downfield, it's a penalty. In years past, it's not, but I mean, this year with the emphasis on, you know, they don't want that contact downfield. Yeah, it's an infraction based on the new rules.
I know you don't want, nobody wants to get fined, and you guys aren't going to go off on the refs, but like, broadly, what do you feel about the state of NFL officiating? And are there times where you feel like the team's handcuffed by things that are somewhat out of your control?
100%. I mean, any game that you have, most games we have referees, they have some control in the game. And you don't want to know the refs' names. You don't want it to be about the refs. But unfortunately, refs are changing the impact of games. And if you don't think that 60-yard Derrick Henry touchdown, it's a holding call that I don't think anyone really saw, a blatant holding call. I don't think you really need to call holding on run plays unless you see there's a lot of holding every play in football. Okay, defensive backs hold, interior linemen hold a lot. So unless you see someone physically fall down or a jersey physically be pulled, I don't think you need to call those. I mean, I don't really think. And unfortunately, you know, you don't know the result of the play, but it's a 65-yard touchdown called back that changes the impact of a game because of a hold call that's kind of you know. So those things like the catch rules.
It wasn't a hold.
You know, no. Yeah. So
it's face mask the other way.
I mean, a lot of this stuff is really, you know, impacting games. And I think it has gone, the refereeing has gotten worse because we kind of forgetting what football is and the physicality. And it's just kind of, it's hard on them, honestly. It's hard on them with what they're trying to do.
Do you think some kind of transparency program, not a direct correlation maybe to the NBA, but, you know, they review like the last 2 minutes of a game and then put out kind of a scorecard. Here's what happened. Here's what was called. That was the right call. Or here's what happened. Here's what was called. Here's what should have been called. Would that alleviate anything or just create more attention on the wrongness?
From a player and a fan perspective, maybe, but the NFL doesn't want to make it look like their refs aren't doing a good job, you know? I mean, if we want to do all this player football focus and rank of what my position rank is before the game and during the game and after the game, we should do a player football focus on the refs and let me know, like, hey, this guy graded a 48 last game. His QBR, his ref BR was terrible.
How much of a scouting report?
The RBR.
How much of a scouting report from Vrabel and staff is part of the game plan? We know previous coaches have done that. I would imagine
with the refs.
Yeah.
They normally tell you, but I mean, what are you going to do? They just say this guy's notorious. They might say this guy's notorious to call a lot of pass interference. Logan, do your best for him not to catch the ball, but don't commit any pass interference. It's just like, you know, I got to play, and I haven't committed a lot of penalties in the league. I've done a good job throughout my career without having a lot of getting my head around and find the ball and stuff like that. So I just got to, you know, they pay me to do a job. I'm going to do it hard. If I get like an infraction, I get a penalty. It's going to come with playing hard. You know, Amendola had a penalty. He also had one catch all day. So I think I've competed for 7 hours of going against one of my former teammates who we went a lot of reps in practice and he knows me very well. I think, you know, held my own, but at the end of the day, they got the win. So it is what it is. Call it a fair wash.
The hit on Lawan. Anytime defense gets the ball, they're turning and looking to hit someone. We all know that. You guys are no different. If you lay a hit like that on an offensive lineman or someone running back, would you expect a penalty? Is that something that's understood on a hit like that, that a defender is probably going to get penalized for it?
Well, in the past, no. But now, you know, you're told, like, if a defenseless receiver, if the guy had the ball and I hit him like that, they might have called a penalty. You know, if he even had the ball. So now a guy's not even looking. And who's not part of the play? So yeah, you would assume nowadays with the what we're emphasizing as player safety that is a penalty. Guys got called in the preseason for tackling a running back with the ball that hit his head on the ground, and that's a penalty. So that's not a penalty, but other things are. Like that's in back in the day, maybe 4 or 5, even 5 years ago, that's not a penalty, and I have no issue with that not being a penalty. I just have an issue when you call receivers crossing the middle and you hit them with their shoulder, and it sounds loud. That's a penalty now. You know, like it's either call not too much or call everything. But if you're going to put this emphasis on protecting player safety, then you got to stop with the blindside crackbacks that a lot of offensive players do on us defensive players as well. Mm-hmm. And on interceptions and stuff, then you got to call all of that.
Did you stay on the sideline during the quote unquote fight that broke out?
Unfortunately, yeah, I did. I stayed on the sideline because I was on the bench farthest from it. Didn't even see it. Saw people storming. Didn't even know what they were fighting about. Very tired. Consumed. Saved energy. I just was like, you know what? I'm not
you
even.
You said unfortunately, though. Like, you wish you
would. Yeah, because he's getting a ribbing from his boy.
No, I'm not getting a ribbing. Like, if I saw that hit and saw the taunt that happened, then I would actually react very differently. If I was on the field and know that I have my guys back, like, 100%. Sometimes penalties set tones. And I think Miami tried to set a tone by doing that based on who that player was. I think it was trying to set a tone on one of our best players. And we responded well as a defense how we should have. But, you know, I didn't see it. And just like one of your friends or somebody's get done wrong to, you're going to protect them regardless. But I didn't see it, which is if I saw it, that's why I said unfortunately, yeah. Because, you know, penalties, you don't want to have them. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to let anybody go out there and do anything cheap to any of our guys.
Well, real quick, Chad, aside from all that, it's all a wash anyway. The officials were just like, penalties offset, let's play ball.
Which is a cop-out. Which is, I didn't see exactly what happened, I didn't call this, so let's call something on everyone, and then we'll just keep playing, which I thought was weak by them. You know, you're trying to judge intent sometimes, and it's hard to do that. You've got Branch after the play on camera saying body bag, yelling that at Taylor Lewan. From a player's perspective, the league is going to go back and look at that. Is it fair for the league to factor that in when deciding whether or not whatever is going to happen with Miami or Branch or whoever?
Yeah.
Is it fair for them to look at that if it's on camera?
I think so, because, you know, as a player, you don't want to – you have a respect for what you – I'm a fearless, relentless competitor, but even Jarvis Landry, Amendola, whoever we're talking about, I still have respect for that person. and try to keep it fair. I'm not trying to hurt them. I'm not trying to put them in a body bag. Straight up. I'm trying to compete as hard as I can. Things do get dirty sometimes, but when you celebrate, I've never celebrated for hurting another player. And if we're talking about taunting, if we're talking about a celebration penalty of somebody, you know, dunking on the goalposts is a penalty, but someone yelling body bag, you know, when you hurt somebody, like, that should be a penalty as well. You know, it's just like, I kind of just get frustrated sometimes on what we're trying to do with this game and like, what are penalties, what are not, what are we trying to bring? Because I feel like if you have ill intent, like the hit, he hit him on the shoulder. He should have been protected with the new rules, but they didn't. That's fine. But then you're taunting. And that's what are the taunting? But it was like kind of like the Richard Sherman hit last year with Mariota, but didn't get thrown out. Yep. It's like you just hit the quarterback helmet to helmet 5 yards out of bounds. Like, how is that not like a throwout? Like, I don't know how you get thrown out then, you know?
You've seen that Deion Lewis spin move up close in practices. He was awfully slippery. What kind of jolt did you feel he brought? And were you looking around saying, told you so?
Yeah, I'm saying a lot. I've been seeing it since high school. He's good. I told you guys he's good. He's just a football player, man. He can catch it. He can run it. And he's really special when the ball's in his hands of making someone miss every time. I don't know how he's done it. He's been doing it for years. He doesn't take a lot of hard hits except for the next play. And I was like, well, how'd you let somebody scoop you up? And he was like, he came so – that's the best I could have did. So Rashard Jones is a good player, isn't he? So he got him back. He got him back. But, so I gave Deion a hard time about that. But, no, he's special. And that's why I was so happy I recruited him hard. And I kind of told Malcolm, I was like, Mal, you know, after everything that happened with you, just go where you got to go, where you feel comfortable. And I felt like Tennessee. When I saw Deion, we had a shot with Deion. I'm like, come on, Deion, it's a great spot for you.
It seems like Butler is motivated off of last year, and Lewis is motivated off of his entire path. Is that fair?
Nah, but Butler's undrafted.
Oh, I know, but he's also reached a certain level of fame. Lewis is still, I feel like, motivated off of just playing for what, fourth team now, fifth team?
Deion's always felt underrated, and Malcolm kind of came from nowhere to stardom to feeling underrated again. So, yeah, I think that's fair to say, but they both have huge chips on their shoulder, and that's why I think they're great teammates and great competitors. And, I mean, you got bona fide stars on our team in this locker room that really just like go out to work every day. There's no A-list type of personalities that you kind of some teams might have, and I think that starts with our quarterback. We've got the most humble quarterback in the league, and he's not acting like any needs, you know, any special treatment.
What did it tell you to see Mariota with Walker yesterday morning at the hospital? Did you see that photo?
I didn't see it. I don't know if it was at the hospital.
It might have been at Delaney's house.
It doesn't surprise me.
I don't think there were fans at Delaney's house.
There was a fan who took a picture with him because he was visiting his mom who had knee surgery. And they were there at the hospital.
He's genuine. He's just, I swear, man, he's one of the best. He's like a human being he's just a great human being. He's like better than you as a human. He's a very good, kind-hearted, respectable human being. I put it like this. So we, you know, us DBs like to go out and have some food. So we were at a restaurant, Sunda, which is very good. Shout out to them. And we were having our little team meal, DB meal. We're in the back. And next thing you know, a bottle of wine comes out to the table. And they're like, oh, this is compliments from the quarterback, Marcus. And Marcus doesn't even drink wine. He wasn't even there. They said that his girlfriend was picking up some food. And they said that, you know, you have some teammates in the back. And he said, hey, buy them a bottle, whatever they're drinking. And I'm like, wow. I was like, I had to shake his hand, like, I saw him the next day, like, man, thank you so much. That was pretty cool. And, like, you weren't even there. I would be like, oh, all right, well, good for them, you know?
Red or white?
Red.
That's a boss move right there.
Didn't even know what it was.
From the quarterback.
I didn't even know what it was. I could have just said, yeah, we'll take the most expensive. They just brought it out, compliments of Marcus, who was out on his couch. Mm. So I just thought he's just a great guy, very thoughtful. And that's why I love him on my team. He's a warrior, true warrior.
It is time for Matt Patricia, a.k.a. David Reed. Time for the pick six, the first of the season from David Reed.
Oh, man, David, bring it.
It's the pick six with Logan Ryan.
Intercepted, and there he goes. Logan Ryan going to take this one for a touchdown. Picked off, taking it all the way back for the touchdown is Logan Ryan.
So speaking of your quarterback, we know how he would answer this question, but today is National Make Your Bed Day. Does the bed in the Ryan household get made every day?
No, it does not get made. It's exactly how I left it.
Same for us.
Mine is too. I looked at it today, thought about it, and I'm like, man, I got to get moving.
I think. Oh, you didn't think about it.
I actually did. Not because if I had known it was National Make Your Bed Day, I would have made it.
I think like Logan said, Marcus, it doesn't take much to be a better human being than me. No, very low standard, very low bar, but he's a great human being. This is just a little weird. The making the bed and the hotel bed every day, that's a little OCD. I think there could be like some therapy for someone who makes their bed every day. Of course I don't make my bed every morning.
They have a lot of time on their hands.
If you could live in a television show or movie for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Oh, man. I mean, I got to live in Game of Thrones. I just don't want to get killed off too soon. Yeah, actually, I want to get killed off. I want Game of Thrones to put me on and let me get killed off one episode.
What area of the world would you be in for Game of Thrones, though? Oh, Westeros?
What is the one where...
is that what it is? No, King's Landing. Sorry.
No, I'm not kidding.
Well, Westeros is the King's full Landing world. Type.
He just wants to be near the wall. Just stay near the wall.
No, I'm not up the north by the wall.
King of the North.
That show is the one where the people on that like island.
The Iron Islands? I know what you're talking about. There's like a tropical.
Yeah, they're beautiful
like
2 people.
Years since we've seen the show.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it for nobody. I haven't seen it.
I've seen it again in 2020. I'll tell you though. Island. Are we answering this too?
Oh, I think that was a great
for
answer.
For Chad, I think Gilligan's Island.
No, I'm going to be Bobby Axelrod in Billions. If I have to live one life.
Dorne?
Manhattan?
Dorne.
Yes. Yes.
Where beautiful people are.
Speaking of your television.
I think all my favorite shows, I don't want to be anywhere near them. MASH, Breaking Bad.
Ozark.
Definitely not Ozark. Those people creep me out.
The Snells.
We have somebody in our, I don't know who he is. I got to get his name. We have somebody in our building who looks just like the dad from Ozark that got out of jail. And it kind of creeps me out.
Is that right?
Are you done with season two?
That guy's listening thinking, oh, that's me.
There's one woman on there that needs to die, and she needs to die soon.
Mrs. Snell.
Mrs. Snell must get, yes. We got to get rid of her. She's evil.
You may have just answered this question. What channel is your television currently on right now?
I just finished Power last night, and for people that haven't seen that show, the show's great. But yeah, it's on Ozark. We're on season two.
Mine's on AMC because I just watched Better Call Saul last night.
Oh. I'm behind on Better Call Saul. Mine's on ESPN because I fell asleep at the end of the game last night.
I was watching Forensic Files on repeat last night.
I have PBS on so the dog doesn't get lonely right now. If you could relive one day for the rest of your life, what day in your life would it be?
Ooh, relive one day.
I need these questions in advance.
Keep in mind, Mrs. Ryan is here in studio.
Right. She wants. Do you want to relive the marriage every day? The wedding? Yeah.
No.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
Oh, she said no.
An immediate no?
The honeymoon. I like the honeymoon.
Last one here. Is there a job or profession that you have no experience in whatsoever that you think that you could be great at?
Paul's job. I'd be great at Paul's job. Be a cynic every day.
We agree.
That didn't take long at all.
Yeah,
look at him. It's right there for him.
I think he would crush
it. This guy
it.
Is always balling.
I think he would crush it as well. But I will say this. There are many players who I thought would be great in the media who wound up stinking and a little bit vice versa. So I would think you'd be great in the media, but yeah. I've got a bad batting average at predicting guys would be great.
I don't know. I'm much better at this live than I am at trying to read a prompter and try to bring some personality to it. I'm not too good at that one.
Is there a teammate that comes to mind that's just made for TV after the career's over currently?
Adore, he's just always smiling.
Adore's always. I think Wesley. Yeah, Woodyard could do it.
Actually, Wood would be really good at it. You probably see him.
Woodyard stood me up so many times on my requested podcast.
Paul comes back to Paul. I'm out. Holding grudges future. Because hey, of Paul.
I got to tell him, hey, listen, if you're in the media, you got to actually follow through when you say you're coming on air.
One of many players that are out on Paul right now.
Yeah. This is a doghouse. Wood had a terrible game. I'm sure he had a terrible game. Every missed tackle.
No, he looked pretty good.
Okay. Hey, on the way out, give us a couple thoughts on Houston and the film study that I'm sure you're already underway with.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson, he's back, looking pretty athletic still. So it looks like he recovered well. The defenses are playing these guys pretty good. We know that the Hopkins battle is going to be a battle that we're excited for. And we know that our coaching staff knows them very well. And they probably know our coaching staff well. So it should be a good game, and I know as a secondary, we're excited anytime that those guys come into town and that guy number 10 comes into town, so it should be some exciting stuff to watch.
We are excited to have you back for year number two of the show.
It's going to be bigger and better.
Thanks
a lot.
See
you next Tuesday.
Appreciate it, guys.
Logan Ryan is back with the Logan Ryan Show. It's the Midday 180, served up by Wendy's.